I grind for the love of the game.
Wait. Hang on. I hate to be a jerk here and interrupt yours, but I just remembered something, and it actually has been eating me all day. So I need to bring this up. And it
By all
is,
means.
yeah, it, and it is an out. You owe an outstanding bet that has not been cashed.
Oh my
On
God.
PTJ, we bet on the NBA Finals,
Oh my God, I
the
do.
Mavericks versus Celtics. Loser shotguns on the podcast, and I do not remember hearing a yet on PTJ this season.
Oh my God, you're right. Okay, for those of you that don't know the history of how this podcast first came to be, please Google paying the fantasy fiddler shotgun formation if you'd like to see me do two shots
YouTube
of bourbon
video.
And a shotgun of beer in 2 minutes. That was another outstanding licky bet that cursed a fantasy football season of mine. I can't figure out what this is cursing so far, but this feels like really bad luck.
Yeah, I don't want to curse. I don't want to curse this PTJ season.
Yeah,
at this point, so
you could have tipped me off. I'm in this makeshift studio. I got no beers ready, and
oh man,
what you'd have to do is you'd have to have like an assistant, you know, like somebody come off camera and, you know, churn the thing and just hand it to you so you don't squirt all over your equipment.
If I had really been on it, I would have texted Emma earlier today and had her then now walk in
Oh
with
my
a
God.
steak knife and a warm Bush Light. But yeah, I wasn't quite on it.
I'm half expecting that to happen. Okay, I will
So
deliver
we
the
can do.
people a short. You know what we're going to do, Licky? I'm going to agree right now on pod, on air. I'm going to do a YouTube short, and we'll put it on the YouTube channel, of me doing a shotgun and giving you a shout out. I will even state the name of your record. I'll state your fantasy team name and your record right now. So let's just be real. We have one collective loss so far in our league of record.
We do.
Which is
we haven't played
fantastic.
We haven't played each other yet.
We have not played each other yet. So I will pay homage to you and your perfect start while shotgunning a lukewarm domestic beer, and I'll put it on YouTube short.
Oh, fair. That's totally fair. I think that's going to solve us of any sort of potential curse there. So sorry for hijacking this intro here, but I feel like I had to get that one off my chest.
Okay, well, let's quickly recover and talk about the NBA through a fantasy lens.
Yeah, let's do it. And so while we're in this adversarial moment, I just want to keep this part rolling. And so I wanted to start with a player versus player, a little bit of an argument. And I'm gonna one of these guys is gonna be, I know one of your guys, and so I want to hear your argument for why he's better than this replacement player. So that is Julian Champagne versus Devin Vassell.
Oh my fucking God. That's so
yeah, and so
disrespectful.
that's what I thought at first. And the last couple of times I've watched the Spurs, I have came away with a different opinion. So I'm going to make the case for Champagne first, and then I want to hear your rebuttal on this.
Can you please refer to him as Bubble Champagne?
I'm going to refer to him as JC, which
Okay.
is his initials. First off,
yep,
I
got
mean,
it.
His initials are JC. Just going to put that one out there.
Wow, impressive work by you.
Thank you. So he's number 64th ranked player in fantasy on the season. And at first, the first month or so of the season,
easy
I
to
kind of
ignore.
Thought,
it felt easy to ignore.
yeah, I really thought, okay,
Yeah.
He's a poor man's Harrison Barnes. And why would I pick him up when the real Harrison Barnes is already on that team? But
Yeah.
the more I watched him, I was like, he's got some pop to him. He has some verticality. He's got a little bit of he's got a little bit of ball handling. So he's 6'8".
Okay.
It's his second year in the league.
I'm listening him with an open heart.
Yeah, the Sixers dropped him last year. Ugh, that one's got to be a little painful. Can you imagine them? But
Sixers.
so
don't even talk about the Sixers. Freaking Embiid goes
yeah.
out tonight, Friday night, with a face injury. Gets
Oh,
hit in the
really? Oh, I
face.
didn't
He
even
didn't
see
return
that.
for the second half. So cool.
Oh man, I think it's a brain injury. But so in any case, he's a really big guy. He's a 3-and-D right now. And so he's averaging 13, 5, 1.5, 1.6 stocks, and 2.5 threes. And so with 93% shooting. And so I guess my argument is that feels very Devin Vassell-y, those stat lines. I mean, Vassell maybe averages a little bit more points, but for a second year player, I'm kind of liking that. And I guess I'm getting a little worried with Vassell that maybe we've been waiting for this breakout and it's not coming. But I want to hear your rebuttal to this.
Yeah, this is fun. This is interesting. Yeah, Champagne, not to be confused with the Champagne in Washington, who also is
Twins.
serviceable right now.
Yeah,
Yeah,
twin brothers.
twinsing. Bubble Champagne, as we'll call him when I'm talking about him. JC.
They
Yeah, he's shown some pop. He's an interesting bit player. I think he's a good seventh man in a rotation. San Antonio's building something slowly but foundationally sound. Very sound structure to it. They bring in Chris Paul as like a hired gun, a hired table setter. I think that's gone relatively well.
Yeah.
So you've seen, and obviously Devin Vassell throughout his career has struggled to stay healthy. I think that's the number one concern for me. What
Yes.
Devin Vassell has, and I want you to keep in mind, and you could fire back if you don't agree, is he has elite shot creation skills. He has the ability to be, in my opinion, the second leading scorer on a team that goes deep into the playoffs. I still feel like that's his, because he can pretty much do everything on the court that you would want. He has a silky smooth stroke. He can really handle the ball in isolation. I would like to see he's a good passer. I'd like to see that part of his game continue to evolve for him to become the player that I kind of hold him to. In fantasy, for me, Devin Vassell has always just been so cheap to continue to take a shot on and bet on it all clicking for him. Especially this year, he had the injury tag coming in. You didn't have to stash him very long. You could pick him up after the draft or get him for a dollar in auction or in a late round and stash him. So for me, like, I just want to put it into perspective. The cost relative to what I think his talent is has always been worth betting on in
That's a
fantasy year.
really good way to put that. I like that.
Year by year. So I keep coming back because I think that the price has been right. Now, long-term outline, what would I like to see from him? I'd like to see 24 points, 5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists with a sprinkle of steals and blocks and three threes a game. That's what I'd like to see. I
Yeah.
don't think Champagne is going to deliver that. But this season alone, when we look at the season ranks and totals, at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if Champagne. If they were close together, because right now we have seen a little bit more of a one-dimensional scoring guard from Vassell. So I wouldn't say he's regressed, but he hasn't grown yet. But he's been a nice guy to round out your roster, and the price was right.
Yeah, I think you put that really well, and that was a really like measured take. I think that I guess my main takeaway is that I mean Devin Vassell is clearly a better player. I think that but I like for this season for the price that you might have to pay, and you made a good point that Vassell is chronically underpriced. But even this year, I think that for the price that you could get Champagne versus Vassell, so I think you can get Champagne as a throw-in on a trade, and I like that rather than Vassell would kind of almost be a target of a trade a little bit.
That's a good point. And I think the trade, it's funny because the trade market for Vassell, like, people who have Vassell like Devin Vassell. So he's actually not
Yes,
that easy to
not
pry away.
believers.
Yep, exactly. And
Yeah.
people invested, they held him. So yeah, he's actually not fun to try to pry away when I haven't had him. But that's a good one. Good Champagne shout out.
So then the next one I have, and this is a little bit more of a kind of a classic deep dive here, but it was, we're looking at this kind of first quarter of the season review. And so this is somebody that I needed to admit that I was wrong on him, even though we are both fans of him. But I think I'm finally ready to admit that he's a top 15 player in fantasy,
What?
which is kind of wild. And that's Derek White.
Yes, we predicted some regression here on this podcast when we did our
We
ADP
did.
review. We did. And it felt safe to project. It did, with a lot
Yeah.
of mouths to feed. But the things that he does are just, you don't need touches necessarily.
Yeah, it's I mean he was we bemoaned the price that you had to pay this
Yes,
year.
we
So
did.
his ADP was 48.
Right.
Last year he was 29, and we kind of thought,
Right.
oh, like it's you're not getting the value anymore. But I think or at least I failed to realize that this last season was not an outlier, but just a stepping stone. Because right now he is your number 12 player in fantasy. And
My
what he's
God.
doing is pretty. I mean, watching the games, he's So right now he's has the sixth most threes made in the NBA,
Woo.
combined with the second most blocks for guards,
Stop.
and you just combine that with five
Yeah.
rebounds and five assists.
Jeez.
It's just it's an elite player.
Yeah. Man, it's a good point. So, and you mentioned he finished 29th in category leagues last season, right? That was his finish. And so then, we're thinking the price. It's like, okay, this is the year where you try to find the next guy who's going to jump four
Yes.
rounds of ADP.
Right.
And
Right.
so,
Don't pay for last year's jump.
let's be honest, Nate. It was a little bit of a hipster take by us because we were such big fans of him early on in San Antonio, even. And
True.
so when he got to Boston, and we've always been able to get him cheap, we were like, okay, we can move on to the next guy who people aren't quite ready to see the breakout coming.
Yes. Yeah. It's funner to, well, our whole podcast is projecting the jump. So, in this case, there was another mini jump. And the last thing I have on Derek White before we move on is I was trying to think, and maybe you have some guys that fit this comp too, but watching him when I feel like one of his unique traits is that he can catch the ball up high, and he never needs to bring the ball down into a shooting motion. He catches the ball high and keeps it high and shoots it. And so it's really hard to block. And there's very few players I can think of that never drop the ball back down again. And so Jeremy Grant is not nearly as good, but I know he keeps it up high. That was a pretty it's pretty pretty neat trick that he has.
I'm doing like a montage trying to think of spot up shooters of the past. Hershey Hawkins in Seattle, he was the two guard. He was similar. Like he was a great spot up shooter because he got the ball up so quickly. So Derek White having that, if you can hit him in that spot, there's so much less range it has to go before it's in its perfect spot. It's a really good point. Probably a part of why he fits so seamlessly into such a loaded offense is that
Right.
he's so easy to find on the cut and in different spots on the corners and whatnot.
Yeah, good point there. All right, so moving on. My next one, I have a question for you here. So I would like you to power rank these three Houston Rocket players. We touched on this on the last pod, but I feel like it was just kind of worth we kind of just quickly dove in, and I was kind of thinking about it more, and it was kind of I wonder if we really were to do a redraft of these three guys, who you would take. So those would be Amen Thompson, Tari Easton, and Jabari Smith.
And this is a
And
redraft, as like I'm an NBA team.
redraft for fantasy this season. And I
Damn.
can give you their season ranks right now if you like or not.
That feels like cheating. I'm just gonna give my first instinct. Amen Thompson's just what I like about him because the situation in Houston, the minutes can kind of change quite a bit. They have so many mouths to feed that I'm gonna definitely take Amen Thompson number one with a bullet. Because the blocks, the steals, the stuff that he can do in limited minutes is just sticky. It's been sticky. He's like a 2.5 stocks guy, and there's nothing that would pry him off of my roster as far as even a slump. I mean, he's there to stay. Jabari Smith's too frustrating. I'd prefer to have, the ride with and I really do like I'm a big fan of Eason. I've always liked his game. I like watching him play. He's just a bundle of energy and fury out there. So I would have to have Easton next and then Jabari last because Jabari is so frustrating and you're just waiting for that. We talked about it last time. Right when you go to drop him, he gives you 27 points and 11 rebounds. And then, you're like, okay, well, I'm glad I held. And then you bleed out for another 2.5 weeks before he does it again. So I'm going to go Amen, Tari, and then Jabari.
And then finish with a starter. Interesting. Yeah. I
Right.
don't dis I don't disagree with that. It was interesting looking through their statistics and their ranks a little bit. So you went Amen first. He's currently 87th ranked player. You went Tari Easton second, who's the 43rd ranked player in fantasy right now, and then finished with Jabari, who's 77. It's interesting looking at their stats because they each one of them average almost exactly 12 points and 7 rebounds in one block. They have those three things identical. But the minutes are pretty different. So you have
Right,
Amen's
exactly.
averaging 27. Tari Easton's only averaging 23
Well,
minutes a night.
that's the thing. It's like his rank, it takes into account those spike games. But the experience is a bumpier ride because the minutes are the most inconsistent of the three by far.
Yeah. And then Jabari's the starter averaging 30. So it's I agree with you. I would also take him in. He started twice this season. He's and in those two games, he's averaging 18 and 8 with some like ungodly, like it's not even fair to say the number of stocks that he's averaged in those two games because they're just outlier of outliers. So I think he's got the biggest pop potential. I'm on board with you there.
This segment would be more comfortable if we could get rid of Dylan Brooks. You know,
well,
open up the trade, open up the trade machine, fire up a time machine, send him back to Memphis, send him back wherever. But
oh, you mean starter Dylan Brooks?
I do.
Who is leading their team to the last couple of victories? Like where they've been a little banged up, they've been. Dylan Brooks is he had 19 and 15 before that. He's been the heart and soul of their team. You're trying to get rid of.
Look, I'm just looking at this from a selfish lens. Okay, as a role player, he has mellowed out a bit, and it seems and the mesh with the head coach over there is pretty nice. I'll give you that. But from a fantasy lens,
shots.
He's less reckless. He has to be. If he had the same shot selection he came over with, he's going to get the shaft. You know, they're not going to put up with there. They're running a fairly tight program. But the shot selection is funny because Charles Barkley, old Chuck, was just going off about how they don't know how to win yet. You know, and their shot selection's crazy. And you know, Jalen Green, who we didn't talk about, I just don't know if that guy's ever going to change. He's just such a chucker. So yeah, it's interesting. But for fantasy purposes, yeah, I would love to get rid of old Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, that's fair. He's 15% roster, which actually is probably got to be his lowest number since maybe his second year in the league or something.
Definitely. That team's loaded, though. I mean, my boy, Reed Shepard, can't even finish top 10 in the NBA in assists because he can't see the court.
Still one of the strongest takes that we've heard on
so
PPJ
strong.
At this point.
So strong, dude.
I loved it. So my next one, I'm kind of curious. I would like to hear your power rankings of these two. And so that is Corporate Coffee versus Steel Bridge Coffee.
I got to go Steel Bridge here. I mean, Corporate Coffee, they won't bring it to your door, for one. They don't have a partnership with any niche podcast that I can think of
for
basketball. And they don't give a crap about vintage basketball cards.
Corporate Coffee. I've never got one from Starbucks or not the name drop or anybody else out there. But yeah, so go over and check out steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ for all the reasons Jamie just lined out. You get really premium, fair trade, organically sourced coffee, and it gets delivered to your door. And it's about almost exactly the same price as corporate coffee, but you can feel good each morning, sipping on your grinds and checking out whichever vintage Dale Davis card you end up selecting.
Dale Davis. And you don't have to support Howard Schultz.
Ooh.
So
if you can't see, for those listening on audio, Jamie just held up a Supersonics coaster here.
It's a koozie. Yeah, that's the same idea. I put it down on my Supersonics coaster. You just didn't see that on camera. All right. Well, let's continue. So this is, again, and Nate did mention this. This is our quarterly review. It's a looser one, but this is when we kind of examine some things that are interesting to us. And Natron Clean will continue to lead us through that. What you got, Nate?
Yeah. So the next one I had is, you know, I want to kind of keep it positive, but this part I had to take a little bit of a dive into one bummer that's been going on in the first quarter, and I was kind of curious if this was an outlier. So this is abductor injuries or core injuries.
Oh wow!
Players,
we're doing medicine corner.
We're doing medicine corner, actually. we kind of really are.
Nice.
There's been so many injuries so far, and this injury in particular has been popping up a lot. So you have so most recently, as you talked about in your last pod, is Franz Wagner went down with this abductor injury.
Yeah.
Paolo Banchero went down with the same oblique injury. CJ McCollum has been out for a couple weeks with that. Desmond Bain was out for that, among other players this season. And so I was just kind of curious. I hadn't seen it come up that much. And so I was wondering if this is more than normal. Is this kind of one of these things that just kind of happens and just happens to be affecting star players this season? So I was reading a scholarly article from the National Library of Medicine,
Oh,
and
wow.
so yeah, thanks. So from 2010 to 2019, there were 65 players that had this injury. So it's
Okay.
about six and a half players per season. So far this season, with those four star players, and then there also was Ben Shepherd and Sam Hauser have also been out with that. So we're a quarter of the way through the season, and we've already kind of reached what would normally be a yearly quota on this. And so for whatever reason, there's a lot of them happening. And so,
Quick question, Licky, are those headphones cordless?
they are.
Would you be willing to aid our YouTube viewers by showing us on your personal body where the oblique is or the
Yeah. So,
abductor?
well, so this is for the YouTube audience. This is right here, right
That's
above the love
helpful.
handles, like
Okay.
right in yonder.
That is helpful. Okay. Because we have heard a lot of talk about it, honestly. I mean, geez, just reading through your player blurbs, it's just been.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty debilitating, you know, when you have
Yeah.
it, because you really think about it, you can't lift your arms, you can't really do
Yep.
much of the activities that you would need to do on the court.
Can't pick up your lover when you're doing a dance.
That's a real shame, like
Yeah.
especially this time of year, like around the
No.
holidays,
Exactly. A little twirling of your lover.
which happens, like
That's
it or has happened.
it happens.
But so what's interesting, according to this research article which came out, what a singular injury of this, the average over this 10-year span was 8 games missed, which is about what we saw with CJ and
Yeah.
Bane. But what was interesting is
That's
that
a
if there
lot.
was a aggravation of that injury, so a second occurrence of that in the same season,
Yeah.
then that player was out for over a season.
Jeez.
And so I think that's what
Oh,
we're seeing,
man.
is maybe the reason that we're seeing such conservativeness when it comes to the Magic
Right.
and other teams, with them being like, okay, like, yes, you can come back in 7 games, but we're going to hold you out 6 weeks, because if you do have a second injury, the season's over. It's
Right.
done.
Dude, Medicine Corner kind of rules. That was a good dive by you. Did you have to pay for access to this scholarly journal?
You know, to be fair, I just read the abstract, and so I didn't read the whole thing. But the last bit of Medicine Corner, right before we get out of here, is that the final thing, which I was actually surprised on how deep they went on this, was
This
that
is good.
they looked at this, the stats before and then after the injury, and they measured every major statistical category, including plus minus, kind of everything, and they saw no statistical change from before or after the injury. So I think that is
That's
something to that, the takeaway from that is, when you're looking at these Magic, especially Paolo Banchero, Franz
Interesting.
Wagner, there's no reason to be afraid. And in fact, it might even be a good time to target these guys in a trade. I don't know what you think
Yeah.
about targeting these guys in a trade right now.
Oh, man, I love it. Okay, so if you're sitting at 7-0 or how 6-1 or something like that, and you can afraid to afford to absorb. I mean, Paolo's coming back. If you've held, you're probably ready to fire. But Franz, that's very interesting. I think some teams could afford to hold that longer. I love that the study bared out what we could expect upon return. So they're basically what you're saying is the time necessary to heal from the injury and be technically ready to play is actually a lot shorter than these teams are holding these guys out, which has become like roughly a month. But it's because of the re-aggravation is so dire that it's a longer timeline. But what you're also saying is they come back much more ready to hit the ground running.
Right. Yeah, there's not a long warm-up period according to this study. So,
Are you able to source this study? You got that in front of you? It feels nice to
you
do.
know, I well, as the longtime listeners know, I write all my notes on construction paper. So I don't have the website up, but it was I do know that I got it from the as I said, the National Library of Medicine.
You know what we'll do? We'll put the link in the YouTube show notes and the pod show notes just if y'all want to see the source material.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Sick.
So moving on here, I'm gonna hit another p a player that you and I got into a bidding war in our joint league for. I lost out on him. You got him, and it was actually, I felt like, a pretty fierce bidding war. And that is, you know, this is.
Is it Scotty Barnes?
No, this is Jakob Poeltl.
Oh my God, that wasn't a fierce bidding war. I paid $2.
I know, I only had $1 left in my budget.
Only you would remember that.
I nominated him for a dollar and then
Yes,
you
yes.
snaked him for
But
$2.
that's
And
a
so
it's a trick question because my mind is thinking about and bid him up, and you're thinking I have $1 left, and this jackass had was able to bid two.
right, and so you got him, and I was bummed, like, and I, but,
Fantastic $2 spent, by the way.
oh, it's been dynamite. I mean, he's the number 33 player in fantasy.
I would spend a $2 bill just to keep him.
It's hard to say that that might be the steal of the draft at this point of the season.
It's been fantastic. Yeah, please tell me what you found on this one because I haven't looked into it. I just know he's this is the guy that we thought he could be when the Spurs traded him to Toronto.
Yes, yeah. So I guess I want to take a look a little bit of what he's done, and then I want to get your opinion on what he's going to be the
Cool.
rest of the season.
Let's do it.
And so this season, 16 points, 11 boards, 1.1 steals, 1.3 blocks. And what's really interesting is that he's finally kind of hitting a stride a little bit as a shooter, which is funny to say because he's shooting 68% from the free throw line, which is
Bro,
amazing for him because he's a 55% career shooter.
exactly. I was gonna say, like, I was doing a punt free throw build, and so I was like, hell, dude, I have no issue. But if it wasn't for that history of being like close to below 50%, nobody would have let him pass for $2. People were just like, eh, that's not the build I have going. I'm gonna wait for someone else. You know, we're all down to our last couple roster spots at that point in an auction draft.
Yeah, because there are certain weeks that somebody will
Yeah.
just do a hack a purdle, and
Right.
then you're like, okay, he just went 2 for 14. There goes my week on that category. But so what I'm wondering, so obviously he's been amazing this season. He's been completely crushing it, and it's really been over the last couple weeks he's been turning it on even more. So it's not like he's been fading. I mean, he's been better and better as things go on. Here's my long preamble to my question here. So
Yeah.
he's 29 years old.
Right.
He's the Toronto Raptors are clearly kind of forced, some might say for good, to be tanking this season.
They just
And
gave him a contract, right? Like I think a 4-year contract.
yeah, so he after the season he has 2 years left at
Okay.
19 and a half per year. So it's not terrible, actually. He's in that tradable range,
Oh, he's
actually. So you.
tradable as hell.
Yeah, I
Can't
think a
see
lot of
him in
teams
real
would
life.
like him,
Yeah.
and that's not a terrible number. And so Mike, so here it is. So as a person who is in the Jakob Poeltl business, in the
Yeah.
vacuum, I guess I'm wondering. So he's the number 33 player in fantasy.
Yeah.
Evaluate these fantasy trades.
Love it.
You're a Jakob Poeltl owner.
I'm
What do you
invested.
think? You're invested. Yeah. So I'm gonna give you a couple trades, and you tell me if you would do it as a Jakob Poeltl owner, just in a complete vacuum.
I just hope my phone
And I
buzzes and
can't.
these are real proposals by you right now.
I wish I had all these players. So my first is, I know you can't do this. So take off your corduroy Seattle hat that you're currently wearing, and that is Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
This season,
How long is he supposed to be out from this point out?
he's supposed to be back in early January
And
ish.
what's my record?
Just you're evaluating these trades in a vacuum here.
Okay,
Both
so
teams are 500, let's say.
if I'm okay, so I have to do it like this. If I'm 6-1 or 7-0, if I'm killing it, yeah, I'm making that trade. I'm making that trade. I'm cashing in the chips for Chet out of concern that he isn't traded. Toronto seems like right up. So you got Utah in their own universe. Then you got Portland hanging out just below them. It's like a moon, you know, orbiting around the Utah galaxy. And then right below that, you have Toronto. It's teams we can absolutely not trust. Did I talk about moons incorrectly? I don't know much
No,
about science.
I love this like view of the solar system. I'm like totally in on it. I'm imagining this is like a heliocentric with trailblazers in the center of it. So I'm buying it.
So yeah, man, if I know that I'm one of the best teams in the league, I'm cashing in for Chet. If I'm around
Okay.
500, I'm keeping the production. I'm rolling Poeltl.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know,
Yeah, that's
especially, and it
just measured. I like
depends.
that.
Okay, so in a league with three like traditional injury spots, and IL plus. Like there are leagues. I have a buddy who has three traditional IL spots and three IL plus spots. It's a very deep league. Yeah,
Whoa.
it's a very deep league. It's crazy. I mean, he's had like Keyson Wallace on his team all year, like that kind of deep league. And
That's
it's
bonkers.
right. And in a league like that, man, yeah, I think I would go ahead and stash Chet and just keep streaming in. But in a
Yeah, that's
traditional,
crazy.
yeah, I mean, there's some crazy leagues out there. Josh Lloyd and some of the industry guys are in a 30 deep league, a 30 team league, where it's like
Yeah.
if your first round pick gets injured, man, you better be hitting on the Jakob Hurdles.
Yeah. Your first round pick might be Jakob
It just might be next year, but I
Pertl.
love this question. I think it's incredibly team dependent. And again, if I think I'm one of the best teams in the league, and remind me, I don't pay much attention. I try to ignore the zombies until Seattle gets their expansion franchise. Adam Silver, can we move with this? Everything's in place. We're ready for the announcement. My family's ready for the announcement. My inner child's ready. But yeah, can you remind me of the injury as far as like, can we expect him to hit the ground running?
Well, he broke his hip.
He broke a stupid hip.
Yeah, so it's I think that early they were saying early January is that timeline, but I think it's they're going to slow it down, especially with the with their success. I kind of suspect him to be back more like early February is my guess. But there's not a lot of information that's come out since then. But it's a pretty rough injury.
And depending on, if they got a top two seed locked up and they're cruising along, what's the point in
There's
rushing
no
them back
point.
at all?
Yeah.
So
Okay. So,
I'll pump the brakes on that a bit. But if I was just the best team in the league, I'd get more interested as we got closer to, the middle of January. I get more, you probably have to pay a few weeks of a penalty to make that trade, though. You got to hold them for a while.
yeah. Okay. So, all right. So here we go. So number 33,
Here we go.
Jakob
Yep.
Pertl. Would you trade him for number 51, Tyus Jones?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No, but man, are you getting a different profile? I guess if like
Yeah,
I
that's
wasn't,
tough. Like,
it's tough. Like if I wasn't intending to punt free throws and they've been incredibly close every week and like I really wanted assists, I still wouldn't do it. I'm just not a Tyus Jones believer.
okay,
He has
that's
a good
fair.
role. He has a fine role, but he's a classic like plug and play utility guy. I mean,
Yeah, that's a little bit of a rank is above his skis a little bit.
That was a
Let
whack.
let's
That was a whack one actually.
Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna move on to somebody that's is a little bit more appropriate here. And this one I'm curious to hear your take on, because I think this one is fair. So would you move number 33, Jakob Pertl, for number 70, Julius Randle?
No, hell no. Hell no. In a points league, potentially. And as somebody who has Julius Randle rostered in the category leagues as well, it doesn't translate to a successful build in general. You get high calories on the turnovers. He can turn in these 5 for 14 lines, and he doesn't supplement it with any defensive stats. You know who Julius Randle is. I'm a Julius Randle fan. I like the bloke. I just do. He's a Kentucky great. He's a fun guy. He has a really cute little family. He's like a family man,
Is he
I
a
like
fun
Julius.
guy? I wait, I don't know. I don't know. Is he
Yeah,
just like a
he's like a
notably
cool
fun
guy.
guy?
Oh, top 10 in the league that I'd like to have a beer with. Go out all night, New Orleans,
Oh,
take on, go to Mardi Gras with him or something. Yeah, he seems like a really
really?
cool guy.
Come on.
But no, dude, in the category league, he's who he's always been. He's hurting you more in the high usage categories than he's really helping you with the 21 points, 5 and 4 that he's given you. I haven't, off
Yeah.
the top of my head, but no, Jakob Poeltl with a bullet. I would turn that down
Okay.
so fast.
And I'm assuming the answer is the same with Naz Reid too, who's 104.
That's a
Like, yeah.
joke. That's one of those, like,
Yeah.
if someone sends you the trade, it's like you send them back an inappropriate picture.
Okay. And then so I'm getting a sense of this. So I have just I'm gonna veto a couple of these right off the bat. And I'm assuming that you're gonna say no to Mikal Bridges.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good on that.
Okay, and then the last one I have then that I think is a fair offer, and so I'm curious
Is this
is
called the low ball Pirtle segment?
well, I it's interesting because I was taking a stab on what I thought maybe your opinion was on Jakob Pertl, and I thought that you might be one of those sell high moments, but but what's interesting and what's like really fun about this is that actually what I'm seeing is that you're a believer in his long-term profile, and then you think that he's going to continue this throughout the season. And so like that's what's helpful about this is that
I
so
didn't say that.
maybe he's not going to be 33 the rest of the
Right.
season, but to put words in your mouth, which I
Don't
am
put words in
doing
my mouth.
currently, I am I'm
You're
currently doing
surmising.
this, is that you kind of think, Flying J,
That's me.
that he's has a really high chance of being a top 60 player.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think the only threat is what's Toronto gonna shut down Jakob Poeltl because they just can't lose a game? I just don't know why you need to do that. You know, it's the only show in Canada as far,
True.
Air Canada, so I don't know, man. I don't see them shutting down Jakob Poeltl in a traditional sense. I just don't think you have to do that. He's not a marquee player he's so good. He's dragging you over the finish line. Quickly still out. It's kind of a weird team. But I'm just not that concerned about it right now because if you hit on Jakob Poeltl, chances are you're probably a pretty smart drafter. Chances are you're probably doing pretty well in the standings. Just ride it out. And if, the last few weeks of the season he drops off, or God forbid, he last 8 to 10 games as he's in and out of the lineup a little bit. Well, welcome to playing fantasy basketball in March and April. It's like it be like that sometimes. But no, none of those names. It was more than names, not the fact that I think he's a locked in top 40 player. I think top 60 is safer. But those particular names, I wasn't really interested in.
Well, yeah, cheers to that commentary. That I think that was really, really impressive, and I thought that you kind of nailed it there. And I feel like it's more helpful because I feel a lot of times it gets thrown around like, oh, I would like, yeah, if you can get a top 70 player for him, trade it for it. And then, but in the reality, when you kind of go through the nuts and bolts of it, I'm kind of like, all right, like, this is what a top 70 player is. This is what a top 80 player is. And would you actually do these trade? Because it's really easy, I feel like, to say, like, oh, yeah, like, trade him for a top 60. And it's like, well, what do those trades actually look like? And those take more time than I feel like a lot of podcasts have the time or the bandwidth to dive into it.
As I've played fantasy longer and longer, and I'm a multi-sport draftlete. I do a lot. I'm in 9 fantasy football leagues. I do daily drafts. I'm doing a lot this time of year. I trade a lot less. I set out for a specific build. I'm enjoying the builds that I've made. I haven't made a single trade in a fantasy basketball league this year, and I don't know if that's ever been true of me this time of year. I would have made it. I used to
Have you
be known
offered a
for.
trade?
Have I offered a trade? No, I've only turned down trades. I don't think I've offered a trade. I know my points league, I've thrown out a couple. I tried to get Devin Vassell a guy cheap. He wouldn't do it. It's the only league I don't have him.
Gotta get champagne-y.
So I've taken a couple stabs actually in my dynasty league. But yeah, in the category redraft league, I've not made a trade offer yet, and I've turned down just a couple. But yeah,
Interesting.
it's interesting. We grow.
All right. So speaking of not growing, this would be a really quick segment. I just wanted to just do a quick ranking your order of confidence on these four players. And by not growing, I mean these players are almost all veterans.
Love it.
So I'm kind of curious to hear your ranking order of confidence in these current top 50 players that they will remain in the top 50. So you have to rank these four players here. So current number 40, Chris Paul, number 41, Brooke Lopez, number 43, Santi Aldama, number 50, Tobias Harris.
Oh man. Interesting names. Interesting names. Instant reaction before I forget one of the names. Chris Paul, highest confidence level. I just think that he is what the Spurs ordered. He's just a table setter for a team that wants to develop their young talent, and he's looked great. I mean, he looks a little rejuvenated. It's been cool.
He does, yeah.
It's a nice story. I like it. Tobias Harris, I don't know what to do with that guy. He's not a fun player to roster this year, unfortunately. He's been a my guy in the past. He's always one of these guys that outperforms his draft slot. And it hasn't translated yet in Detroit. He's had some games here and there, but he's been a weird one. Brook Lopez, he just won't die. He's the Chris Paul of big men.
It's amazing.
So it's definitely Chris Paul 1, Brook Lopez 2. Santi Aldama, I just there's so many mouths to feed over there. Over the past couple of weeks, especially with JJJ playing really well, do you have any observations on his role that you wanted to share? Kind of convince me on this last one.
No, I had him as my four
He's
personally.
my four.
It's I will say that the one thing we talked about him last season, and that he's one of those surprisingly young guys that you looks like a plays like a vet, but is actually like 23 years old.
Yep.
His visually, he has transformed his body from this season to last season, and so he looks lean. He looks he last season he was like a I mean he really looks like an NBA player, and so he looks really thin, and it's kind of translated to an improved performance and improved minutes for him. And so at first I thought, we talked about it was maybe we thought he was a flash in the pan, but he kind of looks like he's built to be a little bit more of a top 75 player.
And this has been Body Positivity Corner with Nathan Lickey. All right, these are fun games. You got any more in the holster here?
I only have one take, one little area left, and it's a quick one. And so it was a segment I'm calling Tanking
Yes.
Teams Are Awesomely Hard to Predict,
Awesomely.
Jazz Front Courts Edition.
Oh, frick. Okay. Do you mind if we
And
take a quick break so I could go pour myself a shot of grain liquor?
she can take that shot that you owe.
Fair.
Yeah, so we're gonna make this real quick, and so that is because when you on our last pod, you talked about Walker Kessler, and so we did a little bit of a deep dive on him, and so we'll omit him from this talk, and so it really is just gonna be two players, and I think it's interesting because we're talking about the Jazz, and I feel like with the good teams, it's a little bit easier to project, their minutes and their roles, and
Oh,
so they're. You're looking at guys that maybe we thought were going to be 40 and they're 33. With these, some of these tanking teams are kind of all over the place. And so it's interesting. I feel like the Jazz kind of embody that to a sense, especially with the Taylor Hendricks injury. It's kind of opened up these front court minutes. And so we've seen the two players that I would like to talk about is John Collins and Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I mean, just off top, John Collins, and he's a player you and I have liked a lot. He's been on our rosters most years that we played together. I feel like one of our rosters. I enjoyed him. Wait, actually, didn't I trade you John Collins for Mark Williams last year? That was like our one trade,
Yes.
a
Yeah,
challenge trade.
week one, I
Yeah,
think, or week
that
two.
was a fun trade. And John Collins was in the lineup more often, so I think you probably won that one. Although Mark Williams, was really good when he was on the court.
He had
John
a
Collins,
better per game numbers,
yeah,
and I got
right.
more games out of Collins.
Exactly. But John Collins has been impressive. He's been putting up numbers that a player of his caliber should for a bad team. And it's been good to see. Lauri Markkanen is for me kind of on my no draft. He's been on a do not draft list for me as the kind of centerpiece of Danny Ainge's like evil genius plan to, have the worst record in the league and then get like the six overall pick. No, I think he is building quite a treasure chest. They haven't exactly been rewarded with like the drafts, during this era. They
Yeah,
haven't really come out with any prizes yet, which is kind of ironic. But Lauri Markkanen,
they
I
seem
would
to be
say.
aiming for next season with that BYU signing that they had.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's interesting. No, what I'll say about Lauri Markkanen, though, is I'm not a big shutdown risk guy. I think it's overblown. He's number one in the power rankings
Yes.
with a bullet. So I would have
Yes.
never drafted him. And if I did draft him, I would be willing to trade him for 75 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, I totally agree. His ADP was 30, and I was like,
I know.
it seemed
Yes.
confusing to me. It
Yeah.
seemed there were so many red flags around that it was like I had him maybe at 65, 70,
He had an
on my
awesome
end.
career year and it was fantastic. He hasn't replicated that success and they jerk him around.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So like the usage is the same, the situation is the same, and so that's why I guess why I was kind of calling this category the hard to predict one. And so he's currently the 117th ranked player in fantasy. And so, and he really, when he's, his profile looks like he thinks he plays in Cleveland still. And so
I love
he's
that.
getting up three less shots per game.
Good
And I
call.
think a lot of it is that I wonder if it's that back injury is just lingering. I mean, back injuries are terrible. I've had a couple of them. They really are hard to recover from. It's a lot of like two steps forward, one
Yeah.
step back. And
One
he's
step
had
back.
that,
It's good.
yeah, a lot of setbacks. And so I think for those reasons, I mean, 75 cents on the dollar is what you said you'd trade him for. I would trade him for 40 cents on the dollar personally.
I want
I
to be
would trade.
more emphatic now. And you're saying exactly what I was going to say, but I have a need for attention. No, it's an innate need inside of me.
One-upsmanship. Let's hear
No,
it. 39 cents of the dollar.
I was recently in a work meeting. I got to share this with you. And we're sitting with like 8 or 10 of my main coworkers. And there's like a meditation leader, a really nice lady, cool curly hair. And we're sitting there and we're supposed to be picturing. She's like, close your eyes and just picture being in this room. Now picture leaving the room and like walking down the street or whatever. And so I'm kind of like doing that. And I do kind of like drift out of the room or whatever. And then when we have to give feedback, I was like, well, my problem was I was like picturing the next funny thing I was going to say and then all of you laughing. And I was like, that's generally what I'm thinking about. It's just like the next time I'll make everyone laugh and then I'll be deadpan about it. So you won't know that I was thinking about it. But what were we talking about, Lauri
Talk
Markkanen?
about Lori Markkanen.
Oh, yeah. No, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you, Russ, or Lauri Markkanen, you need to do the best you can to extract value while you still can, because it won't feel good when you get nothing for it. I agree. I think more like 40 cents on the dollar, because the word is out. I mean, you have to be dealing with a dummy to get 75 on the dollar or higher. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I think optimistically you might have thought you were going to get the first 60 games and then you get shut down at the end and you miss the playoffs,
Right.
but you're baking that into what you're getting. And I think that the situation has changed. I think what we're seeing now is they're going to be really conservative with him. And I think, and even when he's playing, he's not the same Lauri Markkanen. And so I think you kind of just got to get what you can.
It's a great point about the
Conversely,
back injury, actually, that it being something that's lingering. And I think they would like to move him. And I think ultimately, dynasty
oh, I
corner
don't
wise,
think they would, but
you think they want to build around him still?
I think they want to build around him. I think they think they found their guy and they're playing it slowly and they want to build around him, is my thoughts.
What is your ceiling if Lauri Markkanen's your best player, even if you build really well?
Well, with those picks, I mean, I think if you can surround, I don't think that he is going to be a top 20 player in the league. But if you can, but considering that I think they're hoping that they're going to surround him with a bunch of top five picks, so they maybe don't need him to be number one, but he's going to be
Yeah.
one of their core players. I don't think they view him as the next, team to lead them to the promised land, but I think they see him as one on their next team that makes the
Yeah.
Western Conference Finals. He's a top three guy, along with Cooper Flagg and along with the guy, whoever the guy that they just paid millions of dollars to sign with BYU for. I don't know if you followed that news, by the way. Like,
Give it to the people. I think you sound more plugged into it. I did hear a little bit about it.
yeah, so I'm gonna look up his name real quick. But he was the number one prospect in next year's
Damn.
draft is what they're saying. They're saying he's kind of a lock to be the number one in the same way that Cooper Flagg is, just signed with BYU. And the rumor mill that's come out is that he got an NIL package that was blew all the Kentuckys, North Carolinas, Kansases out of the water. Was above and beyond, and it was basically a blank check written by a combination of Danny Ainge and the new owner of the Jazz wrote this check. And so I
Damn.
think they're playing the long game to build the Jazz in this respect,
That's that dirty
which is
Mormon
interesting.
money. That's that dirty
Yeah,
Mormon money.
kind of is. I would
You
like to see a long form podcast on that.
want a quick, mildly educated hot take on Cooper Flagg?
Yeah, let's hear it.
He's Christian Laettner 2.0.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's three-time All-Star sprinkled across, many seasons. I don't think he's a superstar. Am I basing this all off of the game against Kentucky where he turned the ball over at the end and like looked deer in the headlights and Kentucky prevailed under the bright lights? Yeah, I am. but yeah, I think we get really excited to anoint the next great American white player.
Yes,
Let's be real about that.
for sure.
You know, and it's cool. It's a cool thing. But like, you know,
Or
Oscar
just
Reeves is pretty good too.
the next guy. Like
Yeah.
you're, and then in the fact that he is a white American player is kind of icing on the cake
The
there.
media loves that.
They do, yeah. And so just to finish up this this awesomely hard to predict Jazz Edition front court segments
Keep going.
with John Collins.
Yeah.
You mentioned that we're both John Collins fans. We're seeing quietly, very quietly, John Collins' best season since 2019, when he finished top 25
Was
player in the
that that
league.
awesome year that everyone kept hoping he could duplicate where he, yeah, I remember that season.
For the next four seasons, we drafted chasing that season. And right now, we're getting that. He's a 36-ranked player in
God.
fantasy, and he's kind of that profile that does it all, hits threes, gets defense, good percentages, good points,
Now,
and
Licky,
it's, yeah.
this is the perfect question for Jakob Poeltl. This is the guy to ask. You know why? Because they're both in hazy situations.
Yeah.
Jakob Poeltl, John Collins. There's the question. That's
I like
the
that.
tier. I think they're the same tier. They come with similar risk, and they're both having these like surprising, awesome seasons for a player that you got at a value.
Which one would you rather have long term this season?
I would stick with Jakob Poeltl by a hair. I would think John Collins for me would fall in the top if we're doing a sell high show and we do dabble in that occasionally because you know the people enjoy the content and I think it can be good food for thought. In general, I think John Collins feels like a sell high to me because I don't trust the Jazz at all.
And I like this. We could finish on a little bit of battle, and I'm gonna go John Collins because I think without Taylor Hendricks, I don't see the competition from the rest of the front court, and so I think that he's not contributing to winning, much in the same way that Jakob Poeltl maybe is not. So I think that his role is perhaps safe.
That's a good point. There's no one waiting in the wings to take those minutes. Although, let's circle back to this clip, March 15th, when Kyle Filipowski is playing 34 minutes a game and John Collins is
Isaiah
getting DNPs.
Collier comes out of the G League to like snag
Yeah.
us all.
I'm just saying, be careful what you prognosticate with the Utah Jazz, but fair enough. I have a little more trust for the franchise over there in Toronto, but it's I'm just we're splitting hairs there.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, that's all I got for my quarter season review here.
Was pretty good. That was fun. Yeah, we took a stab at just focusing on some deeper dives on our first pod, and then this is your usual PTJ banter pod. So if that's what you came for, that's what you got. But that was good stuff. So, as you know, Projecting the Jump is a fantasy basketball podcast for the people. Natron Clean, we like to dive deep into the margins. That's what we do here. If you like what you hear, we would appreciate if you would rate, review, subscribe, hit that little mash that button, and share the podcast.
So easy. So easy. Give us the 5-star review. Just takes 1 second. It really does make a difference for us.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. Really fun engaging in the YouTube comments. We've gotten a little more with that. We'll answer your questions if you have any questions on, you know, our prognostication on any player, any rotation questions, trade proposals, stuff like that. You can always hit us up in the comments of these videos. And even Natron Clean has made some guest appearances in those comments to answer your questions. So for Natron Clean, this is your boy Flying J. And happy holidays, y'all. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers.